In D&D, divas are essentially angels, and they have a wide array of additional powers. And one of the things that they are exceptionally good at is being able to discover the truth, as well as ensure that they are not deceived or manipulated. But what happens if the party or a previous entity is able to deceive the diva? What do they become? Welcome back to the Game Masters Academy. This is the show where we strive to help you make every one of your sessions great. Thank you for joining me. My name is Greg. I was driving down the road, coming at you out of Michigan today, but driving down the road and just kind of contemplating some different ideas on combats that we could look at that are a little bit outside of the standard, bandits and warlords and humanoids type of a deal. And I thought, what cooler thing could we do than have our party face up against the actual agents of the gods themselves? So I was looking at the Diva, which is celestial, and I was thinking about how to incorporate that. We spend a lot of times fighting demons and devils and things along those lines in D&D, but rarely do we have to match wits with one of the forces of good. Unless you're running an evil campaign, the opportunity that we have to put in one of these creatures and have the party actually try to oppose them is relatively low. But what if we have a fallen angel? And that fallen angel is opposing the party because of its, downfall and demise. And that's where we've come to for today. So real quick, here at the Game Masters Academy, I release videos twice a week. On Mondays, I spend a little bit more creative time, whether that's creating a stat block, creating a monster for a monster, or creating a character build for your D&D characters that are currently available. Also potentially have some rules type of videos where we just do a quick analysis of rules or help with some things that I have noticed people struggle with in the games that I run. And then on Thursdays, we release a video showcasing one specific monster. We talk a little bit about what it is that they are, doing, how it should be run, and then take a look at potentially adding them into a side quest type adventure so that way you can find an easy way to incorporate them into your game. If you like this video, if all that sounds exactly like something that you'd like, then please subscribe to the channel, as well as give the video a like, throw a comment in there. A lot of times I'm able to respond to almost all the comments currently. And so if you've used this in the past in one of your games, or if there was a glaring obvious way that this creature should have been used that I missed, let me know. I definitely would love to have the opportunity and the insight from all of you. So with that all out of the way, let's look at a diva. A diva is a medium celestial. They are a lawful good. Armor class is 17, hit points 136, and flight speed of 90 feet. So we have some really good flight maneuverability for a creature. In general, has some great stats. Looks like the lowest it has is in 17 intelligence, and the rest theirs are 18s and 20s floating around here. And you're looking at a very well-rounded creature, as it should be. We're looking at an angel, and that angel is specifically designed to work with one of its gods. And so these are what the benevolent gods would call upon to enact justice on the material plane. The diva comes with resistances to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical sources, as well as a resistance to radiant damage. Angelic Weapons basically gives a diva additional radiant damage on all of its attacks. It's capable with innate spellcasting of doing detect evil and good, and then once a day it can raise dead, so it could actually resurrect a party member. Or if it's opposition. It could resurrect somebody that the party has already killed. Has magical resistance, which just gives it advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. The diva comes equipped with a mace, and that's just a typical 5-foot reach, 1d6 mace. Obviously, angelic weapons means it does an additional 4d8 radiant damage, so it's definitely not a pushover. Multi-attack, and then it has a couple of different other little oddity type abilities. So it's got healing touch. Basically, it provides almost like a lay on hands type ability, and not only heals, but also cleanses. So it removes, you know, disease, poison, blindness, and deafness, as well as curses. It can do that 3 times a day, and then it comes with change shape, and that allows it to polymorph into a humanoid or beast. There's a lot of other things that go with it, but it's basically very similar to polymorph. You have to have a challenge rating of equal or lesser value, which means it has to be 10 or less, which would cover, I believe, all of the beasts that are in the official books. And then any of the equipment's gone, replaces a lot of the stat blocks. But when it is polymorphed, it's able to still speak. And so it still has the ability to communicate. If you wanted to go crazy and have it polymorph into a T-Rex and then be able to talk to the party, you absolutely could. That's not really the way I envisioned this type of encounter going down, but that obviously doesn't mean that that's wrong. It's pretty much the overview for the creature. It's got a flying creature here. 90-foot speed for a turn is pretty impressive. Your mace, you have 2 mace attacks that you're able to utilize. That's going to do some decent damage. And then you have the ability to polymorph and hide amongst the rest of the crowd. To get into a little bit of the lore behind the divas, I'm just going to read a little bit on the description here. But it says, legends tell of angels that take mortal form for years, lending aid, hope, and courage to good-hearted folk. A diva can take any shape, although it prefers to appear to mortals as an innocuous human or animal. When circumstances require that it cast off its gaze, a diva is a beautiful humanoid-like creature with silvery skin. Its hair and eyes gleam with an unearthly luster, and large feathery wings unfurl from its shoulder blades. A little bit more about angels. An angel slays evil creatures without remorse. As the embodiment of law and good, an angel is almost never mistaken in its judgments. This quality can create a sense of superiority in an angel, a sense that comes to the fore when an angel's task conflicts with the goals of another creature. The angel never acquiesces or gives way. When an angel is sent to aid mortals, it is not sent to serve, but to command. The gods of good, therefore, send their angels among mortals only in response to the most dire of circumstances. An angel's moral compass grants it a sense of infallibility that can sometimes spell its undoing. Angels are usually too wise to fall for a simple deception, but sometimes pride can lead one to commit an evil act. Whether intentional or accidental, such an act is a permanent stain that marks the angel as an outcast. We're looking at a creature that has this high level of pride, and I think for our use, the best option for us to do is to actually have this angel have history before our party meets it. And the history that we're going to run with here is that this is an actual angel of Eldath, the Lady of Peace. And somehow, whether that was through some sort of manipulation, whether that was through some deceit, or maybe the angel had this moment where it fell for some heart-wrenching story and actually ended up committing something that was against its nature. But this angel has fallen. And as an angel of peace, I think there's no better way for an angel that has fallen to then become a representative of Bane, who is the god of war. So we have this fallen angel that is super just angsty and upset, and they have a lot of resentment for themselves. They have a lot of resentment for Eldath. They have a lot of resentment for mortals. And so they have partnered with Bane and are going to utilize this partnership to wreak destruction and chaos on the material plane. I think where we come in, or where our party is going to come into them, is we are going to be, you know, within a city, wherever you are in your campaign, you're in a city, and a distractionary force or a distraction type of a situation is coming up, and word has reached this particular location that the neighboring territories, neighboring empire, neighboring cities have raised their army and are now marching across the actual kingdom to come and invade. And our diva, you can create some fancy name for them or whatever, that has fallen and become a fallen angel, is the commanding officer for this invading army. And they are coming in, they are brutal and ruthless. They're assault the land and destroy everything type of an individual. Now, whether or not you give the diva a redemption arc, so that way the party can potentially convert them back to the blessings of Eldath, or you just have them fight off and face off and fight them to the death, I think is entirely whatever you want to do with your campaign. But the idea here of this angel leading this army of just like crazy and insane berserkers and or shield wall, think of like the dwarves in the Battle of the Five Armies in the Hobbit movie. However it works for your campaign, there needs to be a series of battles, there needs to be an infiltration to get into the war camp, to finally face off to this diva. The way that I would want to play the diva itself, if I was going to be running this, is I would want them to appear as a member of whatever the same race species is that was invading. So if it's a dwarven kingdom that's coming in, they're going to appear as a dwarf. If it's a series of elves, then they're going to appear as an elf. And then as the party finally reaches them and a few attacks have come on, you know, have gone off, then have them reveal themselves as what they truly are, a fallen angel, and have that go from there. I think that's a great little twist to place on the way that this whole entire thing is brought up, because it just looks like it's some dude, some general basically bringing it in, and then you realize that it's actually a divine entity that is coming in and doing that. With flying, one of the things that you don't get just automatically is flyby. And so we want to make sure we're being careful with that. Our mace only has a 5-foot reach. And so because it's only got a 5-foot reach, as we fly in and attack, then that means it's going to provoke opportunity attacks as you fly out. The counter to that, I guess, would be to put a reach on the mace. Depends on your party. If you got a bunch of players in your campaign, you might want to increase the reach to 10 feet, just so that way you can maneuver that and force them to ground the diva before they're able to take it out. But otherwise, I don't think that that's too much of an issue. You've got some supreme mobility with that 90-foot fly speed. And then you couple that with some pretty punishing damage, decent in pretty much all stats. And this combat seems pretty well-rounded. Now, it's designed for a CR-10. But again, that's assuming with a 10th level party that this would be the third or so combat for the day. With that being said, I think what we can do is we can provide a set of legendary actions to make this so that way if you don't do 3 combats on a given day, that we can kind of help bolster this encounter and make it feel a little bit more epic, I guess is the best way of putting it. I'm going to do the same things that we normally do when it comes to adding legendary actions to monsters. The first two are pretty common. So the first one is just an attack. The second one is movement, so just giving them an opportunity to movement. Although I would put that this movement would be one that would not provoke opportunity attacks to give you that flight and mobility that we're looking for. And then the very last item that I would do, because he's a general in this particular instance, would be something that's called Command Ally. And just basically an ally that the diva can see can make one attack at advantage using its reaction. And so if you present it with a series of knights maybe that go with it, or maybe you use gladiators if you want something that's a little bit more challenging. You have the opportunity to have the diva command them to be able to make better attacks. So those are the only legendary actions I would add to this to make it have that extra punch. But the overall combat would just be very, very basic. So that's the combat corner for the week. Using a diva, a fallen angel. Again, if we have it be a member of Eldath and then it has basically fallen, it has aligned itself with Bane as the god of war compared to coming from a god of peace. And whether you give the actual diva the opportunity to redeem itself or not is entirely up to you for your game. But the concept here is show up as a dude and then, or a girl, and then one turn in, maybe two turns in, reveal the true divine nature of the diva and have the true combat begin. I hope that you find a way to add the diva to your game. And as always, let's let the dice decide.